Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
All right. You guys have amazing rhythm. For a song that you guys have never tried before, you followed the motions and you were in constant, even though I messed up at one point. You guys, some of you from VBS already knew the motions, but you guys nailed it. So do you guys think you have a good understanding of what rhythm is? Right? All right. Awesome. You guys are amazing. Give each other high fives as you go back. Parents, thank you so much for being a part of that. That was amazing. So 2 weeks ago in our youth program, we explained rhythm exactly as that, as a constant beat, something that's repetitive. And we talked about how our relationship with God needs to have some sort of rhythm. It can't just be a once a week or twice a week thing. It needs to be a day in and day out relationship, just like any other relationship you have in your life. And today, what we're going to be talking about is the next step of rhythm, and it comes to our worship. When I was a kid, when I was younger, there was a lot of times when I was in high school, middle school, that I just didn't want to go to church. There was just days that was just, my mom just shook her head and goes, "What?" Yeah, there was a lot of times where my mom would be like, "AJ, are you up?" "Yeah." "AJ, are you up?" "Yeah." "AJ, are you getting ready?" "Uh-huh." And then you get the mom voice. When you know you have pushed it just a little too far, and all of a sudden I hear, "AJ," and boop, I'm up. I'm ready to go. I'm brushing my teeth. She's already ready. She's in the car. She's waiting for me. She's yelling at me as I'm brushing my teeth. I'm just hurrying up and I'm getting ready. And I'm like, "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom." And I'm rushing to church. But isn't that how we feel sometimes? There's just some days that we just don't feel like being here. Can we be completely honest? There's just some days where I'm going to do a little activity real quick. Every time I point to the word "feel," I want all the students and all of us parents to say the word. Awesome. Cool. So there's going to be some days where we go to Sunday church and we really don't. Yeah. Awesome. Being there. We don't feel like we're being there. We don't feel like, you know, we're our best selves. Sometimes we guilty or ashamed or just we've done something wrong. Or just sometimes you're tired and exhausted and you just don't. Like worshiping, right? Like there's just days that it's just hard, right? Like you just had a really long week. Maybe you had some issues at home or just issues with your kids or your kids. Like I remember when I was in high school or even in middle school, there'll be times where I didn't really do anything wrong, but there was just times that I didn't just connected. There was just times where I was just either like physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, and I just couldn't really get into worship. And it would be like some days were really good. Some days I'd be like hands up, praising, you know, having a great time. And other days that I'm just kind of like, "We're doing this song again? Like, this is the third time in a row. Come on, guys." Now, I'm not blaming the worship team, but it was more me. It was more of how I did things and more of how I felt in those times. And so that's what we're going to talk about is how do we conquer those moments? How do we tackle those moments where we don't feel like we are able to connect with God, or we don't feel like we're worthy of worshiping, or we don't feel like we're in the right place to go to church? Because I know sometimes growing up, I never made the best decision, so it was hard for me to go to church because I didn't feel like I belonged there, or I felt too guilty to go. And so the book I'm going to read out of today is the book of Hebrews. And during this curriculum, the stuff that we use for our youth and for our children's stuff is an amazing resource. And as I'm getting this message prepared and as I was going through and getting myself ready for this, they had a really interesting statement about the book of Hebrews of saying that we don't know who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. And so I thought that was really interesting. So I started doing my own research on who wrote the book of Hebrews. And what it was, it's actually a bunch of different writers. Like, here, I have it right here. It is Paul, Luke, Barnabas, Apollos, and a few other people. All different writers that were writing this. But that wasn't what struck me. The thing that struck me about this is who it was written for at the time and why it was written. The book of Hebrews was meant for the second generation of Christians. So it was the people that lived right after Jesus' death. The people that, the first generations were Christians were the people that lived while Jesus was alive, heard about him, saw his amazing things, and was like, whoa, this is amazing. And then he died, and they're all like, well, now what do we do? Oh, let's go start churches. And so then they go starting their churches, and now their children are being raised up, not really knowing Jesus as a person, but hearing him for the first time of the story of who he was. And the book of Hebrews is written for those that next generation. And I thought it was really key because when it talks about why they wrote to the second generation is because these Christians were being attacked or persecuted both by the Jewish community and by the Roman community. So on both ends, they just never had comfort. And guess what they did as the next generation? They began to revert back to Judaism, something that they knew former, something that they got comfortable with, something that they knew worked. And think about how relatable that is for all of us. When things get tough, when people start asking questions, when we start even having our own doubts, how often is it for us to take a step back and go into something that's comfortable, something that we can rely on? Can I be honest with you guys? I mean, obviously I can. I cried in front of all of you guys last week, so that was great. So, yeah, these past few weeks has been amazing with our youth group and everything that's been going on. We have roughly 60 kids that come each week. And, yeah, isn't that amazing? We have been reaching the community. And the good part about that is we get to see these kids. We get to be in their lives and invest in them. But it has been hard for me personally just because of hearing the stories that they have to go through. Just the pain and everything. I explained it last week, but it just wrestles in me, you know? I never thought someone had to go through that pain, and especially at young ages that these kids are in. Fights, drugs, abuse, cutting, all of these hard and difficult things. And to hear it week in and week out, it just hurts my heart. And so being able to preach to them and invest in them and constantly be around them has been a huge blessing. I just wanted to thank you guys for that. But I forgot where I was going with that. To kind of just kind of go to our scripture based on that, just how kind of going back to the topic where this is the next generation beginning to go back to their old ways because of everything that's happening to them. This is what the book of Hebrews has to say. Yeah, I'll just read it over here. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Let's go to the next one. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that we all are called and can receive the eternal inheritance of God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins that they had committed under that first covenant. Now, the thing that's really cool here is this is salvation. This is the core of what Christianity is. So when it comes to these people being persecuted and all of these leaders, Paul, all these people that I told you about, that wrote this book, Paul, Luke, Barnabas, Apollos, people that are experienced, that have been doing this for a while, are seeing these things and seeing their lives being changed because of what the world is doing. And they said, wait. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you already. I know going back to these old ways seems comfortable. I know going back to these old ways seems like it makes sense. But just remember what Jesus has already done in this new covenant. Remember that he died on the cross for your sins. Remember that he gave you access to God so that you didn't have to go and live the laws of our old ways. And so a few weeks ago, a bunch of the next gen leaders, Pastor Cynthia and I, went to our children's curriculum conference in Chicago. And the guy that actually created the curriculum, his name is Reggie Joyner. He was there and he was speaking. Now, this curriculum, I didn't really know this until I went to their convention in Atlanta, but this curriculum is used not just across the United States, over 40 different denominations, but across the world. So this is a program that is shown to be significant and is shown to be an impact, not just in small churches like us, but it has made it adaptable for different denominations, no matter what size and what you've done. And now the guy that's ahead of it is now on stage, and he's talking to all of us, and he has everyone that is 21 and younger stand up. And he has a message specifically for them. And he told them that when you guys are the leaders of your church and when you guys are making the move, feel free to drop everything we have ever done. Feel free to drop every program, every system, but just keep the word of God as it is. And isn't that amazing? This guy, in my mind, this guy has started a program that fits almost every denomination, any size, and has made it effective for almost every church, has probably made the best program possible for churches, and has an extreme gift, and says, hey, you know what? Drop it. Because you know what? My program isn't what saves people. It's the word of God that saves people. It's not what I've been doing that makes the impact. It's what the word of God does through what I've done. And he recognizes that what he's done is for this specific time, is this for this specific season. So he challenges the younger people in that conference to say, if you see something for the sake of your church or for the sake of the people that you are reaching and it is costing you just because we've done it before, drop it. Just drop it. And I think that's what kind of symbolizes in here. These people that are struggling, they don't know what to do. They're kind of like, they heard about God, they're heard about church and all of this, but yet they're being asked all these questions, and so they're starting to go back to their old ways. And so Paul and all these other writers had to change things up a bit. They didn't just have to have a weekly Sunday message. They had to have a specific message saying, remember what Jesus did. Remember the core of why we're doing things. It's not about everything else that we're doing in this Christianity. It's about this one thing first. Don't forget that. And I don't know, I just thought that was really powerful. And one thing that's really interesting about Judaism and Christianity versus other religions is other religions, it's almost like a transaction between you and other gods. You have to give something in order to receive something. And the cool thing about God and the history of the Old Testament and New Testament is God was in covenant with the Jewish people before they even offered anything. What they didn't offer anything in order to receive what he had. God has already promised them that he was going to make them a great nation. God had already promised them that they were going to have a Messiah. God has constant promises throughout the Old Testament, and the Israelites and the Jewish community had to do absolutely nothing because it was a covenant that God has already placed in them beforehand. It wasn't something that they just had to do in order to receive something. They didn't have to sacrifice anything, but they did recognize who God was in their life, and they recognized the value and the importance of having him in his life, so they did want to keep that relationship with him, so they did offer up sacrifices to him in order to keep that relationship with him. But then that's when we have the new covenant. That's when we have Jesus Christ. That's when we have the one that already died for our sins, and we don't have to give anything anymore. All we have to do is receive what he has given us, which is Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? So, we go from feel. The fact. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus was alive on this earth. The fact of the matter is everything in the Old Testament was a promise to the Jewish people, and it has come through over and over, as you see all throughout the Old Testament. Right now, the children's church, we have been going through the story of Moses, and like I said, it has been trusting God no matter what. And you constantly see how Moses, through all of his trials, was trusting God, you know, going to Pharaoh, saying, you know, let my people go, you know, all of these things, and God would continually give him what he needed in order to let those Israelites free. That was a promise, and he kept it. And so you begin to see the fact that that God keeps his promises. God keeps his word. God doesn't matter. Think about this. it doesn't matter, and I think Steve actually said it earlier today, it doesn't matter, or no, it was Troy that I was talking to. The path that you take, God will always find a way to bring you back on course. He has been talking with our high school small group for the boys, and he wants to start this series on it, and it was really cool to hear because I know, like, for me in high school and for me growing up, and even now, there's times where I just really feel like I can be off course sometimes, where I begin to have that feel of guilt or that feel of being ashamed because I didn't do something quite right, or maybe I didn't handle a situation well, or maybe I just didn't, like, even, like, little things. Oh, I said I was going to wake up at 7:30, but I woke up at 8:30. Oh, well, then there goes my day. And I'm really, like, picky on myself, right? And so when it comes to being down on ourselves and we begin to feel this hardship on ourselves and coming to church and investing into our relationship with God, we need to remember that core cornerstone that is said right here in Hebrews, is that Jesus has already given us the new covenant. God has given us his son. He keeps his promises. And he is here for us, and he is here for all of our trials, and he has forgiven every guilty thing that you've done. He has gotten rid of every trial in our way, for better or for worse, for our own growth and his own ways. He has done everything as a plan and as a purpose for you to live the life the way that you have it. And so when it comes to worship and when it comes to us being in that presence, it's not about our perfection, but it's about God's affection for us. It's not about perfection, but God's affection for us. So when you begin to feel guilty, or when you begin to feel tired, when you begin to feel disconnected, A, know that that's normal, and everyone has that. So there should be no shame factor in that. That is something we all go through as humans, and we just don't talk about it, and for whatever reason. But I would like to bring it up, that saying that that is normal, and that is stuff that is going to happen to us no matter what, because we are humans, we have sin, and we mess up sometimes. But that's not what worship is about. Worship is not about perfection and having everything right and having the nicest clothes and having, you know, all the money in the world and then coming in and showing the world what you got. No, it's about recognizing what God has done for you. It's about recognizing what he has done through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and what he's currently doing in your life. And so the next thing, and if you guys have, like, paper on you or something, or maybe even on your phones, during worship and when you guys leave, I really want you guys to write this next slide down. If I have it, I don't know if I put it on. Yes, awesome. I want you to put, God is for me. And again, it goes to connection, not perfection. God is for you in your darkest moments. God is for you in your brightest moments. God is for you in the in-between. He is always for you, no matter what. So when you go into worship, when you go into work, when you go and do your daily devotionals, wherever you are at in life, remember that God is for you. The other fun line that I wanted to say about worship is that worship is about connection, also not perfection. But then I'd be using perfection twice. So there was a lot of words that rhymed with perfection. But that's basically where I just kind of want to close right now, is when we go into our closing and when you begin to leave and to talk to other people, if something has stirred up inside of you, maybe this is your first time or maybe you've been coming here for a while and you didn't really know too much about Jesus or what he has done, and you begin to have this stirring inside of your heart and you want to just kind of know more and just kind of seek out, well, what is this? What is this next step that of becoming a Christian, of being a part of this and coming here every week? Please talk to Pastor Cynthia, Pastor Steve, and I, or I, any of us that you see, and just pull us to the side, and we would love to talk to you. We'd love to share with you. And when it comes to us leaving and entering our daily lives, I just really want you guys to just kind of look at the God is for me part and just remember that even in your toughest times, God is for you. Because this has really helped me. I'm not going to lie. I forgot who I was talking to today, but this message has really helped me specifically these past few weeks. Because like I said, hearing all of these stories of these youth students and going through all these trials that they're going through has really like bogged me down personally, because I was just like, man, I never expected it to be this bad. You know, I was just expecting, you know, Jimmy stuck his finger in someone else's ear and the guy wet Willie, you know, something like that. I don't know. But like that, you know, you just don't really plan for, you know, something as, you know, hard as that. But what you can do is just remember the cornerstone and go off of that, that Jesus has died for us and God has a plan and a purpose for us, and we can move out of that. And so when it comes to our own personal life, when it comes to our own personal worship, don't be bogged down by the things that are happening around you. Just stay focused on what God has already done for you and worship through that. So that's where I'm going to end. Ending early as always, so you're welcome. all right, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. All right. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this family. Thank you for just this message that you have for us today, Lord. Just thank you for everything that you're doing in this season, in the next season, and in the last season, Lord, that you are moving this camp. You are building something amazing here, Lord, and I'm so glad that we all get to be a part of it. So, God, I just pray that as we go through our week, as we go through our lives, Lord, that we remember the cornerstone of who you are in our life and what you have done. And just remember that it is about your affection and not our perfection. Whatever we have done, whatever we feel guilty on, that we can just move past it and focus on what you are already doing in our lives and what you have already done. And I just pray that whatever trials and whatever issues that we have during this week and during this time, that we just get reminded that you are for me, that you, God, are for me individually. You, Lord, are for us as a church. You, Lord, are for us as a community, that you have a plan and purpose for all of us. And so, God, as we close, I just want to say thank you just for this opportunity to come up here and to share your word and for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.